Today for St. Michael and all angels, I'm proclaiming God's word from Matthew chapter 18 verses 1 to 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit so that we live wisely, understanding that our status comes as a gift from you. Free us to receive each other as you receive us and to care for the little ones in our midst. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, as I talked about in the children's address, if you read the Gospels, you will read about angels. And at significant times in Jesus' ministry, the angels make their appearance. Not just in the narrative do we encounter angels, but also, of course, in Jesus' own teaching. Now, because this particular reading was not read out from the lectern, I'll read it to you now. This is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. This is in your Pew Bibles, by the way, at page 15 in the New Testament section, if you'd like to look on today, because I will be dealing directly with the text and these words. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." Okay, let's go through this text where Jesus teaches about angels. But the teaching comes up in a context. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That passage we just heard is Jesus' extended response to that question. The disciples are coming to Jesus and asking him about status. Who is the greatest in God's realm? Who is the highest placed? This is a natural question that we ask as human beings because status is unavoidably important to us. And they want the word from Jesus about status, about where status really is in the kingdom of God. Now Jesus is going to bring up angels in response to this question, but it's going to take us on a journey of understanding. Listen to what he does, first of all. "He called a child whom he put among them." So the first thing he does is an action. He takes a child and he puts the child in the midst of the disciples as they are concerned about status. He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There are many things we could say in relation to Jesus' teaching here, but here's one way to think about it. We know the disciples are asking about status, and we know that we as human beings, as we grow, shape much of what we say and think and do to gain status and to keep it. But Jesus puts the child in their midst to help them understand what humility really is. Humility is not grasping for status, but receiving it as a gift. Children simply find themselves in family. They find themselves with brothers or sisters, with mum and dad. They have their place given to them. They don't know how. This is how it is also in God's kingdom. At a fundamental level, we are sons and daughters of God. We find ourselves given spiritual life. And this comes to us as a gift. This is not something that we can grasp for. It is something that comes only with open hands. Now Jesus takes this reality about children in families and thinks about it from the point of view of adults, especially from the point of view of adults who are in positions of authority, like his chosen disciples, especially when they are concerned about status. Listen to what he says. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Now Jesus knows about status games in the human community. If you read the Gospels, it's clearly evident he knows what's going on. But he doesn't say you're wrong to worry about status. It seems to me, in my reading of the Gospels at least, that Jesus understands we need to have status as human beings if we're to live well. But he does want us to understand that worldly ways of gaining status are dead ends, especially in the kingdom of heaven. But there are ways of gaining status with God that are no joke. Welcoming, he says, one such child means welcoming him, having the status of being affirmed by the Lord Jesus himself. That word one, by the way, comes up a lot in this reading. Did you notice that? Often when we are concerned about status, we are concerned about numbers. The bigger the number, the higher the status. Jesus takes it down to the individual. And to welcome one child in his name is to welcome him. Of course, in worldly terms, welcoming a child does not give status. Because seen from the point of view of money or connections or power, children have nothing to give. I said they've got nothing to give when seen from the point of view of money or power, but there is a darker side to why children might be welcomed by people who have power and authority, including religious leaders. People welcoming children not to care for them, but to abuse them, and including to sexually abuse them. It appears that Jesus now starts to give his disciples, who are concerned about status in God's kingdom, dire warnings about the abuse of children and, by extension, the abuse of all those who are vulnerable and open to exploitation. Listen to what Jesus says, and remember again, he's saying this to his disciples as they are concerned about status. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. A stumbling block is something that makes someone fall, trip over on the path of faith. St. Paul, by the way, uses the imagery of stumbling block in his teaching when it comes to how we receive weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. But this image of a stumbling block comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What happens to a child who believes in God, who is then abused by someone in a religious authority? They stumble in the life of faith. It's hard for them to go on trusting God when they see what they receive from God's servants. Jesus gives his disciples the strongest warnings in this regard, and he goes on to make his warnings even more emphatic. Listen to what he says. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire. Does this language sound familiar to you, by the way? If you read Matthew's Gospel, you'll see this language comes up originally in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is warning his disciples about adultery, about sexual sin. And here, when it comes to how little ones are welcomed or not welcomed, the same imagery comes up. This makes me think that Jesus has in mind especially warnings about the sexual abuse of children, warnings given to those in authority, to his own disciples. Notice, by the way, that he gives hellfire warnings here, warnings that he does not give to the crowds. And we can know that when Jesus gives hellfire warning to us as disciples, he gives this warning out of love and care and concern for us. We can receive teaching which is this dire because we know we are loved by God, and the one who speaks these words loves us and cares also for the little ones. Now, it's at this point that Jesus brings in, we might think unexpectedly, the angels. Listen to what he says. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What's going on here? Well, Jesus is talking about what we could call the front-ranked angels, those angels who are closest to God. I imagine many of you here saw the royal funeral. You'd have seen in the abbey the coffin of the Queen, and then you would have seen how people were arranged around the coffin. Who was closest to the coffin? The king was. And then everyone of the highest status. That's the imagery here. Who's closest to God? The angels who see his face. And they are the ones who guard the little ones. The little ones who seem to offer no advantage in terms of worldly status, and who seem so vulnerable to abuse by those who have power over them. Jesus is saying that these little ones, so easily despised without faith, have in fact the front-ranked angels as their guardians. Again, we could say, if we want true status, and that is something that we do need, we find it with God by not despising the little ones, but by welcoming them. When we welcome them, we welcome Jesus. When we welcome them, we welcome those who are guarded by the angels who see the face of the Father. Jesus then wraps up his response to the disciples' question about greatness in God's kingdom by telling the parable of the lost sheep. Now, do you remember we had this parable recently in Luke's Gospel? And in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells this parable in response to the grumbling of the Pharisees and scribes when they see Jesus welcome tax collectors and sinners, when he teaches them his word. Here we have the same parable with a different audience, the disciples, and with a different question, the question of status. Listen to what he says. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. Again, the number one comes up as he wraps up the teaching. Each individual is significant to God. Status is not about numbers, but the love of God for us. The fact is that in the kingdom of heaven, those who seem to be little, vulnerable, of no use in worldly terms, are precious. And we find that when we welcome them, we who have power, who have status in worldly terms, enter into the reality of the kingdom of God, where there is a different set of values at work, and where love reigns. Now, you may sometimes look at your own place in the world and wonder about your own status. Sometimes you might think you are just another brick in the wall. Nothing to write home about, nothing to care about, with no real future. But Jesus' teaching and his life opens up to you, reveals to you what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus gave his life for you, buying you not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood. And Jesus cares about each one of you. This is what life is like in the kingdom of heaven. So, dear Christian brothers and sisters, let's listen closely to what our Lord Jesus says. When he teaches about angels, it's not sentimental and it's not kitsch. It's meant to be taken seriously. As we receive this teaching, we're opened up into a new world where we ourselves are encouraged in the life of faith and where we gain true status as we welcome the little, the vulnerable, the poor, even little children. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.